Thank you for downloading the East Haven Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit easthavenchurch.org.
I want to talk today about treasure, and I have a picture to illustrate what I'm talking about today. And so we'll pull that up. And you know me, you may not know this guy, though. And this is my dad. My dad's he's a jack of all trades. He does a lot of things. He's an insurance salesman and a preacher. How do those two go together? I don't know. But he also is a farmer, rancher, among other things. And you can see we're out at the hay field right there. And my dad had a problem. My dad was out at the hay field one day, hauling square bales like we do. And I don't know if you may have never grabbed a square bale before to move it before, but it's wrapped by two pieces of large twine. And if you have, you know the feeling, and you can probably feel it right now in your hands if you feel it, where it goes in between your fingers as you lift it up. And it gets right there under your knuckles. And he was picking it up, and he didn't even notice it, but when he picked it up, it pulled his ring off his finger. And he noticed it about 5 minutes later, and man, that ring, it just runs away. I did it in the first service, too, and it just disappears. By the cord? Over here. Tan cord. Yes, there it is. Man. I should have used your white ring, Lance. This one's hard to find. Exactly. That's what happened, right? It came off, and he's like, where is it? You know, it's gone. It's just gone. And so my dad calls me about a week later, and we're talking. He's like, hey, I got a job for you. I lost my ring. And I'm like, yes, you lost your ring. And everybody's like, what? I'm like, but I love metal detecting. That is like my favorite hobby, as some of you guys know. You know, I've tried to get you to come along, or I've asked you if I can come to your house before. That's one of my favorite hobbies. So I'm a little excited when my dad says, hey, can you help me find your ring? And I'm like, yeah, I'm there. Let's do it, you know. Let's do it. So a couple weeks passed, and I get a chance to go. And we get out there, and I've got my two metal detectors because one's not enough. And I give one to him and one for me. And we put our headphones on, you know, and we get out there and start beep, beep. And I hear this, I hear that. I find a couple pieces of trash because there's trash everywhere. And eventually I get a good ringtone, pull it up and pull the grass back. And there it is, just laying right there on the ground in the area my dad said it would be in, which I'm glad he remembered about what area it was. But he lost it for a couple weeks. It rained. I don't think he really thought there was any shot that we were actually going to find this ring. And he was so surprised. And you can kind of see the bewilderment and excitement on his face in the picture that he's kind of like, well, daggum, you found it. How about that? You know? And so he got his ring back. He got his treasure back. And I think that's the third ring he's been on. Because you know us guys, we lose rings. You know? They're like, candy, this is my second one. But we found my dad's treasure that he lost in a field. We found the treasure in the field. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about treasure in a field. We're talking about one of Jesus' parables that he spoke to his disciples in Matthew chapter 13. So if you want to grab your text or just read along with us, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And it's just one verse, but it's a parable. So the verse says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." So where are we at today? We are in Matthew. We're in kind of the middle towards the end of Matthew. We're getting towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. He's slowly heading back toward Jerusalem, knowing the task at hand and knowing what's going on. And he's teaching earlier in the chapter to the crowds, teaching like he usually would by the sea or on a hill. But in these verses, he's actually drawn away from the crowds and went into a house. And it's only his disciples that he's teaching, because he's trying to prepare them for what is about to happen, for what is coming. He's about to leave them. They're about to be on their own. And things are going to be not what they're expecting. So this is important teaching for the disciples and for us at this time. And he's teaching about what? He's teaching about the kingdom of heaven. That's the first reference. He's telling them about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christians. And what is the kingdom of God is the question I had, because I've never really understood this idea of the kingdom of heaven, and people use it in many different ways, and I've never been able to put my finger on what it is. But if you think about it, a kingdom has many parts, right? A kingdom has the land, the area, you know, that it occupies. How far does the kingdom reach? Rome took over the world at the time with its kingdom, you know. It's a people. It's a nation. It's the people that are in it. It's the things that are in the nation. It's the wealth of the nation. It's all those things. And we think about the kingdom of heaven, we think about the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That would be Christians. That would be those that follow Christ, right? We talk about building the kingdom, adding to the kingdom, right? And we also know there's another thing about kingdoms, that they have a start and an end, right? That they fall. They rise, they fall, right? That's what it is. But when did the kingdom of heaven in this sense start? Well, it started when God became man. When Jesus came to earth, that was the beginning of the kingdom of God. That was the start of it, when God put on flesh in the name of Jesus. So we look at that, and we see that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And we know that this kingdom, since it just started, it's not actually a physical kingdom at this point, is it? No, it's not something that the world recognizes right now, right? It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of believers. It's something that's there, but the world doesn't recognize it. But you know, one day the world will recognize that kingdom, won't they? Yeah. When Jesus returns in all power and glory, and every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord, that kingdom will then have a physical presence here on this earth. But right now, it's just a spiritual kingdom. And you know, that's what he was trying to teach the Jews and his disciples too at this time. Because they were expecting the Messiah to come in, right, and kick Rome out, because Rome was oppressing them, right? And Rome was the devil to them, right? It was crucifying them if there was revolts, doing terrible things to them, just oppressing them. And so to them, the Messiah was supposed to set them free. And what they knew that they were not free, what they were being strangled by, was Rome. And so they expected the Messiah to come in, start a revolution, and oust Rome, and then, I guess, take over the world. And so the disciples were kind of excited, because that meant they were going to be number two, three, and four, you know, if they were the friends of Jesus, right? They're number two. They'll get, you know, this. But that's not what Jesus was trying to show them. He was trying to show them over and over again that my plan is something much bigger than that. It's something much larger than that. It's not just about the here and now. I've come to free you from sin. I've come to free you from death, from eternal death. This plan that I have actually involves me not living and conquering, but dying to conquer, right? And so he's trying to teach them these things, even though he knows they won't understand until they happen, right? Until later on. But he's teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. And specifically in this parable, Jesus is teaching about one part of it. And in parables, the way he usually taught in parables was he taught one thing about them, or one characteristic or trait about that. And so he compares the kingdom of heaven in this verse, if we read it, to a treasure hidden in a field. And we know treasure, and I guess we all have different ideas when I say the word treasure. Some of us think of a treasure chest, you know, pirate's treasure, you know, gold coins, rubies, all those different things, you know, when you flip it over. Or maybe you think of precious metals, silver and gold, you know, maybe finding something like that. Or maybe your treasure is your Gucci handbag or something like that, you know, something really expensive, nice, you know, something like that. Your car, your boat, you know, that sports car, that Ferrari, whatever. When you think of that treasure, you know, that's the idea I think Jesus is trying to put into your head, is the kingdom of heaven is like something like that. But he goes on to expound a little more about that. So it was a treasure, and it was what? It was hidden in a field, right? It was hidden in a field when a man found it. And so this treasure was somewhere in a field, right? And a man found it. And so you can just imagine this guy. And it says that he kind of accidentally found it, is the term. That he stumbled upon it, right? And so you can imagine him. He's doing his business, going to work maybe one day, walking through the fields, bebopping along, when he hits something. And he stumbles. And what is that? And he reaches down and dusts it off. And he sees the corner of the treasure chest sticking out of the ground. Or maybe he sees the glimmer of gold, because it's a giant rock of gold sitting in the ground, maybe. You know, whatever it is, whatever you want to picture. But he stumbles upon it. And I think that's interesting, because he's comparing that to the kingdom of heaven, to finding God and his things, as something that kind of trips over in life, that he stumbles upon. And some of us find God that way, right? Some of us stumbled upon God at some point. But then others of us searched for him and looked for him. But I don't think that matters, right? Whichever way we come to God, whichever way we find him, whether we stumble or we're searching or looking, we all at some point realize, or we should realize, or we hope that people would realize, we try to show them that this is a treasure, whether we stumble upon it or we're looking for it, but that becomes a treasure in our minds. So it was a treasure that he found in a field, stumbled upon it. And let me ask you this, was it a good treasure? Yes, because it says, and then in his joy, in his excitement. So it was obviously a very good treasure because it brought excitement to the man, right? It brought joy to the man. Why did it do that? I asked myself that. Why does treasure bring excitement to our lives? Well, we look forward to something like that, right? It's something that's going to bring us happiness. It's something that's going to change our lives, right? It's going to make it new, make different. It's something that's going to wow. It's something that is great, that brings joy and brings excitement. So obviously it was a good treasure, a treasure that could change our lives. The kingdom of heaven will change our lives, right? God's love, Jesus, they will change our lives. It's something to be treasured. And so what did he do? So he tripped over it, he found it, he realized the treasure that he had found, correct? And then what did he do? He went and hid it again, right? When you find something that's worth a lot, you want to protect it. And he couldn't just take it, right? That would be stealing. It was in another man's field or whatever, and he couldn't take it. That would be stealing. He had to take it the right way. But he covered it back up. So you imagine it was the gold nugget. He probably dug the hole 2 or 3 feet deeper and then stuffed the gold nugget back in it, you know, and marked an X on it or something like that. Nothing too obvious, right? Stuck a twig in the ground or something. But he hid it again because he wanted to protect what he had found. And then what did he do, finally? And this is the major point that Jesus is trying to make, is that the kingdom of heaven is a treasure. And this man then went, after he'd found the treasure and he knew what he had to do, he had to buy that field. He had to get that field to get that treasure, right? And so that was the only legal way he could do it, was by buying that field. And he knew where it was at. So he went home and he looked around and he said, man, how much money am I going to need to buy this field? What am I going to have to sell? What am I going to have to get rid of? And I think in this example, it was everything. He looked around and he saw the donkey and he said, all right, I can get a little money for the donkey, all right? And then his boat sitting out in his driveway, he said, I can sell the boat. Yeah, I can sell the boat, right? Sorry, wife, that nice necklace that I bought you for Christmas, we're going to have to sell it. But trust me, I have found something so much greater that none of these things even compare. I've forgotten that they even have value at all, because what I found is worth so much more. It's worth so much more that we can get rid of every other thing in our lives and it won't make a difference, because I've found something that is worth more. The kingdom of heaven should be our highest priority. It should be what our lives center around. That's what Jesus is telling them. He said, it should be what you treasure the most, of highest priority. When we look at our lives and how we evaluate things in our lives, the kingdom of God, the things of God, knowing God, loving God, spending time with him, telling others about him, telling others about Jesus, should be the central focus of our lives. That should be what drives us. And all other things should come into context from it. When we plan our days, what we do, our work, all those things, we do it for that treasure. We're working to buy that treasure. We have to sell everything. We have to put everything in subjugation to it. We should treasure God's kingdom like that our utmost loyalty is to the king of that kingdom. Like that we are a citizen of that kingdom, and all that we want to do is build for that kingdom and work for that kingdom. And it's Labor Day, and we're talking about work. And our life's work should be for the kingdom, right? We should be working towards that. We still work our regular jobs, and that goes toward the kingdom. Hopefully what you do in your life, in your everyday life, builds toward the kingdom. Hopefully you work, like Lance said, to raise a family, and that family will honor God, right? That's still building towards the kingdom. Maybe you make more money than you even need, and you can give to the poor and the needy. That's building the kingdom, right? You can give your time. All those things. But you see, that's a central focus of our lives, that what is our treasure is God's kingdom. It's building God's kingdom. So what could that look like? What does that look like? And that means putting God's kingdom number one. That means building everything around it. And that means that should show up in our lives, and that we should see that in our lives. And when we make decisions and when other things come into our lives that could take us away from that we choose the things of God, not those things. If I had gotten the opportunity this morning to maybe go on a one of those Texas parks and wildlife great hunts, where they take you out bird hunting and the fields are just full of birds and you know, you just get to shoot a whole box of shells and have so much fun. But if I had gotten that opportunity this morning, 5 minutes before the service, and I had took it, my priority would not have been God. My priority would have been me. My treasure would have been getting to go hunting, to getting to have a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And we throw that word around, once-in-a-lifetime experience, but really, once-in-a-lifetime, I don't know what that really means to us. Because we actually have more than this life. We have eternity. We should be building towards that, not these small things that we get in our lives. They're not going to matter. They're not going to last. They don't have any eternal value. And so we ask ourselves, am I working God in around everything else, or is everything else getting worked in around God? You know, is number one priority my hobbies? Am I metal detecting? Is that number one? Is that what I do all the time, and I can work everything else in around that? Or are the things of God the things that don't change, that I'm here for, that I'm going to be here for, that I commit to, that I'm going to be here for? Because Jesus says that's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's a treasure that's worth more than anything else, so much so that this man would sell everything for it, that nothing else could touch him. So that's what we need to reflect upon, is does our lives look like that? Do we live in such a way that people see what our treasure truly is, or does our treasure look like the things of the world? Does our treasure look like the things that are going to fade and pass away, or is our treasure something eternal? Do we build treasures for the kingdom? Are we working towards heaven? And I want to leave you with this verse right here, Matthew 6, verses actually 19 through 21, that says, "Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I want to ask you, where is your heart? Because that's where your treasure is. That's where it's at. And that's where you're going to be, most often than not. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to ask you that you show me where my heart is, that you show me where my treasure is, dear Lord, and then if it's not where it needs to be, that you change it, that you make what is yours, your kingdom, building your kingdom, knowing you, my treasure, dear Lord, and that for all of us in here, dear Lord. I want to pray for Lance as he comes and he talks more about working for you and the labor for you, dear Lord, that you give him the words to say, dear Lord. Please be with us through this day in Jesus' name.